Whether you suffer from depression, anxiety, feel stuck, or lack motivation, it all starts in the mind. We're on a quest to help us break through life's most challenging obstacles. No matter who we are or what we hope to achieve, clarity, joy, and self-love will help us lead the way. How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce. Welcome to the Mind Reboot Podcast. Today I'm joined by Melissa Moss, mental health therapist. Melissa, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
No, it has been a pleasure getting to know you, and just some of the things that you're working on is just so incredible. You really do have a heart to want to help others, and I'm excited to be able to share your story.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, originally from the Chicago suburbs, but you have split time between here and Florida, right?
I have. Most of my time has been in Chicago, though. I'm more of a Chicago girl than I am a Florida girl.
Yeah. And you can tell. I mean, yeah. you have that city. You really, it seems like you really love the city. And
I love it.
We met at a networking event downtown. And
yeah.
So tell me a little bit about what you do, your practice, because you do have, on one hand, your practice, but then you also have your nonprofit.
I do. So I have a private practice where I see clients 18 and up. I used to see children. I don't anymore, unfortunately, but I love working with children. And basically, I'm a mental health therapist, so I work with them on trauma, on anxiety, depression, those type of things. And most recently, I've been working a lot with relationship issues.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be, you know, something that is very prevalent, even from hearing at where I go to church, that 70%, sometimes more, of the prayer requests are about relationships.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what is it that you think from, I guess, your perspective, because we're talking a little bit about it, right, that we seem to not get right when it comes to relationships, that seems to be the cause of so much of our angst and yeah, just when our relationships aren't right, it affects us.
Right, right. I think it boils down to, you know, it sounds a little cheesy and everything, but it boils down to giving ourselves love first, right? And so when, and that's why therapy is so important, is we have to kind of understand ourselves and our past to understand how it affects our present. And so, you know, I think that I do a lot of work with people. We don't spend a lot of time in the past, but you have to go through it to get past it, you know? And so all of our relationships are pretty much, you know, based on our relationships from our past and from our childhood.
Wow. And that's a lot to unpack when you're talking to someone about, yeah, their traumas, really, right? Because it
trauma
boils down to it. Mm-hmm. How, for you, do you manage that to where, you know, listening to those stories, and it's got to impact you on some level too, right? But how do you handle all that? How do you manage that for yourself?
I think it's, I think it's about connection. So you relate to other people, even when you're the therapist and they're the client. You can understand what trauma is and what, you know, how it affects their relationships and that type of thing. And so it's one of those things where you feel very vulnerable when you're talking to somebody about their trauma and then about their relationships, and that helps you to be vulnerable and then them to be vulnerable back.
Absolutely. No, vulnerability is so important. I mean, I think it's the foundation of connection, really, when it boils down to it, is you trust those that are vulnerable with you.
Right.
What made you get into this profession? What was what was your calling in all of this?
Well, I guess I can go back to way back when. I've always wanted to be a psychologist. It's been my dream in life from when I was a kid, oddly enough. My dad would give me these self-help books when I was like a teenager, when I was in high school, and I would devour them. I was like, this is amazing. And right. And they were like hardcore self-help books. They weren't just like, you know, fluffy stuff. They were like really in depth. And for some reason, I just loved them. And I would read them constantly. And I thought, I'm going to go to school for psychology. Well, I didn't have the best grades. I wasn't even thinking about college. I just wanted to be a psychologist.
Really?
And so, you know, I figured it out, and I got to the point where I'm a therapist. So that's kind of how the very beginning of it started.
And was it everything that you thought it would be and hoped for when you got into it?
That's a good question. I guess it was different in a lot of ways. First of all, it was there's so many stepping stones to getting to the point where you can have your own practice. So you see so much and hear so much, and really some of it can be extremely heartbreaking even before you get to the point where you're one-on-one with people. Mm-hmm. And then when you're one-on-one with people, you know, it's also can be very heartbreaking. So I don't know that I was prepared for that, but I definitely could rise to the occasion.
And you said you worked with kids previously.
Yes. So I used to work with kids as a therapist. I worked in schools for several years.
Okay.
And worked with teenagers in high school, and it was really great. I didn't know that I would like working with teenagers. I would like working in high schools, and I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, it's been quite a journey. And then I started my charity. from there, and Kids Have Hope. Mm-hmm. It's a child abuse prevention program, and we also go into schools and teach kids how to stay safe against abusers. And so it kind of all worked well together. And then as I started my practice, I realized I wasn't going to be able to spend the same amount of time that I could with kids because they are so special. You know, you really have to spend a lot of mind space and spend a lot of time. And it's not that I don't do that with adults, but with kids, it's very sensitive. And so I thought, you know what I'm going to work with adults and still have the charity. So I still get to work with kids, but not in the same capacity as I do with adults.
No, and the charity is amazing. I think it's just one of those things that we as a community need to protect our children, right? And you're really doing that with that. Could you talk a little bit about exactly how that works?
Sure. So our big thing is empowerment. So we empower children to speak up, you know, to stay safe, all those things. So we basically use a evidence-based curriculum, and it's fun. You know, kids love it. And it's a sensitive subject, right? You know, I mean, we're talking about like sexual abuse. So it's not something that schools necessarily are, you know, loving to hear about and wanting us to come in. But the kids love it. We do this whole thing where we do a chant where we point our finger up to the air and we're like, it's my body. And they feel so empowered by this, these tools that we're giving them, and they just really enjoy it, and it's fun. And then they know that it's their body belongs to them. Nobody has the right to touch them in any way. They, you know, and even, you know, I tell them straight up, I'm like, even if you feel a little awkward around somebody, you don't have to be around them. Like, you certainly don't have to hug them. You don't have to stand next to them. You know, you can get away. And if you feel really awkward, like, tell somebody. And so we go through the whole kind of thing about what to do as a child, because a lot of times children don't tell.
No, you're absolutely right. And what can we do as a community in those instances? Obviously, you're making an impact because you're meeting kids where they're at schools, right? Mm-hmm. You're going there, and it's part of it fits, right? It's a curriculum that you've aligned with the school. But if how do we communicate that to the little ones in our lives, or you know, how can we instill that sense of this awareness, right? And I don't want to say morals, but that those things aren't right, and that they need to speak out. It's sensitive, right?
It is. And I think the first thing is to just not turn a blind eye to it. I think people want to think that it's not out there. And then some people think it's only in certain neighborhoods or certain areas. And it's everywhere. And so I think the first thing is awareness. Like you said, just kind of learning about it and learning about how you can help and how you can prevention is key.
That's really it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And moving back into your practice, right, who are those individuals? And I think it's important to clarify, right, there's a lot of people who see the value in therapy and they go to it and they get help over those obstacles, hurdles in life. But there's a lot of people that still, right, not for them, or maybe they think, what do you think is the biggest misconception that keeps people from getting into therapy for themselves?
Well, I will say this. Nowadays, people are very open to therapy.
Yeah.
It's almost trendy, which is great, right? You know, but So I think sometimes what holds people back maybe is just not wanting to dig in to, you know, their stuff. And so it sounds like a Band-Aid. It sounds like something that can help, you know, you if you're like, okay, I'm feeling depressed. I'm going to go talk to a therapist. I'll feel better. Well, sometimes when somebody has not been ever to therapy, they come in thinking, wait, I was not expected for this to get worse before it got better. And it does a lot of times. And but there's a process to it. And if you can trust it and understand it and then dig deep, you'll feel better. You'll get better. You'll heal.
Would you say that it's all, I mean, the majority of people are coming to you in a reactive state, though, where they're already going through something and they need help getting out of it? How important is it to, from a preventative standpoint, to engage in therapy?
I think it's I think everybody should be in therapy, honestly. I do. I mean, I think that it's extremely important. I think there's so many tools we can learn, just mindfulness tools that we don't necessarily learn in school, or we don't know, and or we don't practice them, whatever. And so I think it's something that everybody should be doing. The one thing that has brought it to light is the pandemic, you know. And so a lot of people are dealing with anxiety, a lot of social anxiety, a lot of stuff that – a lot of trauma that we weren't able to process during the time, and then we had to jump right back into the world again,
yeah.
Right? And so we all have this time in our life where we were home, you know, with – a very unknown feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now it's kind of like, oh, wait, that happened, but it's over. Now we're back into doing regular things, but it's not, you know, it's not really regular. It's we're still working from home. We're still trying to deal with the trauma that was. And then I always think about the kids and that were in school, like being told that they had to go home. I mean, they must have thought the world was ending, right? You know, like you have to go home for we don't know how right. much time. And it just it really affect the – so I see a lot of like 20-year-olds and, you know, that kind of age range. And the effect the pandemic has had on them is, to me, worse than for people that were older and can understand it a little bit better. Or at least could kind of were already a little bit prepared as far as like, I mean, we're talking about kids that were in school and they didn't have, you know, they were a senior in school and they didn't have prom, they didn't have graduation, they didn't have any of those things that we all had. And so I think it's affected them a lot.
Wow. And we take it for granted on so many levels, and we see, you know, the consequences of those social anxieties where people are more awkward, they're more reserved about even attempting to go out, right? And, mm-hmm. and we joke about it as a society now, mm-hmm. but it's a very real thing that we're seeing. What do you think is, I guess, the cure to that? How do people overcome that, right? If I mean, obviously, you can always go talk to a therapist.
Yeah, talk to a therapist.
Yeah, but if you could give that, you know, that bit of wisdom, you know, what does that look like for someone to overcome the challenges of social anxiety?
I think, you know, it's difficult. I think for people that have been younger, people that have been through the pandemic, it's much different than the social anxiety that I've dealt with before with clients. Mm. But I do always, you know, Chicago is great. Like, there's tons of things to do. And I always push my clients, like, get out there, you know, get out there and just, you know, get in the uncomfort zone, because that's how you grow and that's how you feel better. And even if it's not, even if it doesn't work out well, right, you know, or if it's not for a long time, you got to get your feet wet and you got to put yourself back out there, because otherwise we're all, you know, isolation breeds isolation. It's just like the yeah. more you isolate, the more you isolate. And so you got to take a step out and really get out of your comfort zone. And now comfort zone means inside our homes by ourselves with nobody.
Yeah. And it's almost like we look at traumas as being something that happened to you in a way that's unique, and, you know, but these are traumas.
Absolutely.
Right? And we if you don't know how to process them, handle them, then they can become personality traits, right? They
Absolutely.
Become a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So As someone that I guess has seen kind of the progression of that of those things in society, what are the things in terms of developing a healthy lifestyle that you know we can implement or that we can do to prepare us more so mentally than anything else, and you know live a healthier life?
Yeah, I think mindfulness techniques are very important. And I tell all my clients, I say, you know, meditate, journal, do breathing exercises, like have, especially it's important, I think, to have a morning ritual just to kind of set yourself up for more positivity, for a calmer day. And, you know, I think being grateful, a grateful journal, you know, a gratitude journal is really important because, you know, we can rewire our brains too by thinking more positive. We're biased to thinking negatively, but we can think, we can rewire our brains to think about things that are more positive by, like, one thing that I tell a lot of my clients is at the end of the day, just think of five things that went right for you that day. And it's amazing. That is so helpful because, again, we can think of five things off the bat, right, that went wrong, like spilled my coffee all over myself, you know, my dog peed in the elevator and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it's harder to think about the good things, but more good things happen than bad things. And so we need to start thinking that way. And so when you do the list at night, you know, you can start, but the next day you'll start looking for the good things. And I think that's important, you know, find the good.
I mean, yeah, it is a programming, right? That you start to notice that, and sometimes you're so unaware of how negative you might be,
yeah.
Right? That is, it becomes its own challenge of, oh my God, now I have to accept that this is, you know, and how maybe some of those success stories or things that inspire you, right? When people come in a certain way, and we can look at personalities and individuals and say, wow, that person's just super bubbly or, you know, happy and that's just not me, right? Mm. But can we move into stuff like being more like that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's where, that's where the rewiring comes in. You know, that's where we have to train our brains, basically, to start looking for the good and seeing the good. And, you know, going back to the charity, I would talk to the kids about sexual abuse and abusers and stuff. It's a scary subject. But at the end, I would always tell them, you know, most people are good. Most people don't want to hurt people. But this is something that you need to learn, you know, for this reason. And I think that's the same point. Like, most people are good. Most things are good. But we tend to not think that way. We're just biased towards the negative. And so it's a retraining. You know, it's work. It's not easy. But I think mental health needs to be looked at as something that should be worked on more, just like you work on, like you go to, you exercise, you know. I think mental health needs to be looked at like that. It's something that needs to be worked on every day.
And nothing goes without saying, right, that as you work on yourself, your relationships get better. But how much of that, given kind of going back to the relationship aspect of our lives that you're focused on, right? How much of it do you spend almost in a sense, because you can't say coaching, right? Because you are a therapist, mm-hmm. but really guiding people or educating people on like how to show up for relationships, which I think is another aspect of it, right? We can always look at ourselves and say, yeah, self-love or whatever that looks like and do for us. But then how else do we show up for people too?
Yeah. And I think we all know innately what is working and what's not working in a relationship, and also what our place is in the relationship. And so I think, you know, a lot of times it comes down to tough conversations, you know, basically telling people what they already know. You know, like, look, you know, this guy's never gonna ask you to marry him, you know, type thing. And it's not easy to hear that, but they know it. You know, we all kind of know and then look the other way. And it's important, you know, because we don't grow if we continue in these relationships that are not good for us. We're never going to grow. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, I this is kind of an interesting thing, but, you know, I've had several clients break up with people or divorce or after a few sessions because, or more than a few, but because they they know. They already knew before they stepped into my office that this was not working. And they just needed to be kind of told and also, like, you know, really let them know, like, this is not working for you and you need to, and you're better than this.
Yeah, and I think we all just need that encouragement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to now, like, for you and building a community, how has that ride been for you here now that you're back in Chicago and, you know, you're getting out there and connecting with people?
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, Chicago is amazing. And so, like, when I first moved here, I've done a back and forth thing with Florida. But when I moved here when I was 20, I remember it was like the world opened up for me. And I thought there is more opportunity in this place than I've ever seen in my life. And it's the same thing coming back. And so immediately I just started kind of getting back into the groove of networking and being around Chicago people. And Chicago people love to connect, and they love to help other Chicago people, and they love to build with other Chicago. And so it's been a really, I haven't been here long, and I'm on a podcast now. Yeah, like, right? This is fantastic. You know, it's been really great.
And how do you see that growing? You know, what do you see as the opportunity here that maybe, you know, just as a culture, right? That I think what works in New York or works in LA doesn't necessarily work in Chicago and vice versa, right?
Yeah.
How do you see mental health being more so, because I see it, right, a certain way growing, but how do you see it evolving here where we can have more conversations and be more open about mental health?
I think you said it, community. I think it's more of a community here than in a lot of places. It's more, it's as big as it is, it's small. And so, you know, it's kind of like putting the bug in people's ear, like, hey, you know, this is what's going on and this is what we need to be doing to help ourselves and help everybody else and help our relationships and also get through all the trauma. So I just think it's, you know, it's all about, like, everybody connecting and being there for one another. And I think Chicago does a really good job with that.
I think so, too. I love the city. I think it has so many great qualities and so many great people. So for you, for 2024, what's the vision? What are we supporting you in? And, you know, what can we expect or hope for you this year?
I don't know. The world's my oyster, you know.
I like that.
I got plans. No, I like to think outside of the box. And that's why I love this podcast. I'd love to do a podcast of my own. Yeah. I think that would be really fun. You know, continue my business. And I think the relationship issue aspect of it is going to be more my focus. But I really think it ties a lot to trauma, too. So I love working with people and we all have trauma. But also are in, you know, have relationship issues. So I think I'd like to focus a little bit more on that.
That's all good stuff to work towards. Mm-hmm. Now, last thing we'll leave here with is, you know, and one of the messages you wanted to come across or make sure that came across was that our past moves us into our present, mm-hmm. and then how we can repair things like going through past traumas.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but what's a message you'd like to leave people with about just everything that you've kind of learned? And if it's one thing, right, that you want them to know, what would that be?
Well, that's a good question. It's a little loaded.
One thing, just one.
Just one, huh? Okay. You know, I think what I like to get across with my clients, at least, is that we're all worth it. We're all worth the time and energy it takes to feel better, do better, and, you know, heal from our traumas and our past. And so, you know, whatever that means to somebody, I think we need to start looking inward and realize that it starts inside. You know, it's an inside job. It's not something you're going to find outside. And you know, there's all these sparkly, wonderful things out there, but that's not it. It's all inside. And so we have the tool. We have what we need, and we don't realize it.
Absolutely do. Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you so much, Melissa. Thank you for coming in and, you know, telling us a little bit about what you do. But we're so excited to have you as part of this community.
Yeah, this is wonderful. Thank you so much.